The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
Punta Gorda, a small town of 20,000 people on the west part of Florida, and this town is a tragic story. They had 11,000 homes damaged or destroyed in 2004 from Hurricane Charley and 300 businesses. And then in 2017, they were impacted by Hurricane Irma. And then on top of those two, as I mentioned, the third storm in 25 years.
In the ReliefFactor.com studios, here's Mike.
Thank you, Doc Morgan. Portions of our show brought to you by Fellowship Home Loans. Call 800-510-MIKE or go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/Mike G. Welcome home. Fellowship Home Loans. I'm a partisan. I'm a Republican. I want Republicans to win. Can I take off my partisan hat for a moment and ask you, as one American to another, are you not alarmed by the leader of the free world calling on a dead congresswoman this week? Is there nothing to see here? I mean, Corinne Jean-Pierre said there's nothing to see here. Listen to the back and forth she had with reporters. Cut number four, CBS reporter Stephen Portnoy said, what in the world was Biden? Again, if you're just joining us, he was calling on Jackie Walorski, the congresswoman who was killed in August in a car crash. She was supposed to be at an event yesterday. He's saying, where's Jackie? And he's, of course, he's slurring his words and wants to talk to her. She has been killed in a car accident, and everybody knows about it except him. Now, again, nonpartisan. Obviously, I don't agree with Biden or the Democrats. Don't you think this man has dementia? Do you forget that somebody died like a congresswoman? Listen to Corinne Jean-Pierre desperately try to pretend that that was normal.
To return to this question of the congresswoman, and I think we all totally get why she's top of mind. You've made that case pretty effectively.
Well, thank you.
I think the confusing part is why, if she and the family is top of mind, does the president think that she's living and in the room?
I don't find that confusing. I mean, I think many people can speak to sometimes when you have someone top of mind, they're top of mind, exactly that. And it is also, if you put it into the context, it's not like it happened without outside of context, right? It happened at an event where we were calling out the champions, congressional champions in particular, of this issue. This important issue when it comes to food insecurity, something that this administration has led from the beginning of this administration, not just across the country, but also globally. You heard him talk about food insecurity last week at the U.N. and the investments that we have put forward as the United States of America in helping deal with that. Look, he was at an event, you all saw, you all watched, which is why you're asking the question, right, where he was calling out, again, congressional leaders, a bipartisan leadership that we have seen on this particular issue. And again, he's going to see her family in just 2 days. And she was on top of mind. I mean, that is not an unusual scenario there.
That is not an unusual scenario there. My dad died in 1971, okay? I'm going to tell you something right now. I want to put a warning out to Eric Hansen and Derek Klingel and Tracy Stockwell and Yuri, my team. If I try to call him in the next 5 minutes, and I tell you the reason I'm calling my dad is because he's top of mind, you call somebody, okay? You get me out of this studio, please. You call the authorities, you get me out of here. If I try to call my late father because he's top of mind. Get this show shut down. Get Carl Jackson. Get somebody on the horn. Call Sam Malone. Get Joey Hudson to fill in. Because obviously I have lost it. And if me thinking dead people are alive is a disqualifier to be a radio talk show host, how about being the commander in chief? Bobby's in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Bobby, you're in the ReliefFactor.com studios, 22 before the hour. How you doing, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
So, well, I'm just sitting here in a state of shock over the president and calling on a dead congresswoman.
So I happened to lose my father in 2018. But the last couple years of his life, my grandmother had Alzheimer's and dementia, and we started seeing things in my father, and then he had cancer, and we saw it get worse. But I actually sat in on these cognitive tests that they give people who have Alzheimer's and dementia.
Right.
And I remember when Biden was elected, within the first, I think, month or two, it was big news that, oh, yeah, no, Biden had a cognitive test. He was fine. I've sat through those. I watched my father go through it. I can 100% say there's no way that he would have passed a normal cognitive test.
I mean, how could this not be an issue of dementia? How in the world, if he's calling on a woman who was killed in a very high-profile, terrible accident that everybody knew about, and he's standing at the podium saying, hey, Jackie, come on up and speak. How's that not dementia? Or Alzheimer's or some cognitive crisis?
And I feel like this is one of two things, and either way, it's bad. One, he doesn't care. He doesn't care enough to know, which would just make him a terrible person.
Just a bad person.
Or he has dementia, and he should not be losing. Like either.
Well, I don't know. Either way, it's bad. Quickly, Brandon in Dayton, Ohio. Brandon, you're on. How are you?
Hello, sir.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You remember the... Good. You remember the Tim Apple comment that Trump made the one time, and the left media just kind of raked him over the coals for it, made a big deal about it, and questioned his cognitive abilities. All he did was call a guy by the wrong last name. I mean, he didn't call on somebody that was dead and say, "I'd like to talk to you."
How about when he was walking? Remember when he gave the speech at a, I think it was at the Air Force Academy or somewhere, and he went down a ramp and he was a little bit cautious in the way he was walking because he didn't want to slip down the ramp, and they acted like he was having a stroke and he was cognitively declining and he couldn't even walk. I mean, you ever see Biden walk across a room?
And then he has this weird little jog that I think that they tell him he has to do every once in a while to make himself look like he's spry when, you know, that's...
Brandon, this is the president of the, this is the president of the United States. This is the head of their party. This is the head of the Democrat Party right now.
He doesn't... There's no way that world leaders are going to fear him or respect him or... maybe he was too busy checking his watch when
I don't
he was
get
calling
it.
On her name.
I know. I don't get it. One open line. 800, thanks, Brandon. 800-655-MIKE. Explain this for me. I'm serious. This is like looking for the mythical John Fetterman voter. Somebody give me an explanation. Let's play it again. Cut three. Just so you know, there was an event at the White House. Actually, it was near the White House. It was a nutrition event. And there were a number of people... elected representatives there from Indiana, Senator Mike Braun, others, and Congresswoman Jackie Warlowski was scheduled to be there. The woman was killed in a car crash back in August, okay? A crash that everybody is aware of, apparently, except this guy.
And I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Do you have a, can you get, hey, I don't care what your political party is. Can you please explain this? Can you please let me know? I mean, really, just give him the benefit of the doubt. I've got people texting me saying, I think he was getting ready to make a joke about her being killed, and then he thought better of it. No, he wasn't. I don't think he couldn't be that horrible a person. 1-800-655-MIKE, Ted in the upstate of South Carolina. Hi, Ted. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you
I'm all right.
today?
I'm all right.
So I'm largely an independent, but I do not like Biden. So what it sounds like is that he was reading from a teleprompter and came across his name and then just suddenly realized
her name.
That she wasn't there. Her name.
You think her name was on the prompter?
It had to be on a prompter.
No, why would they put a dead woman's name on the prompter?
Because someone forgot to take it off.
No. He's not, I don't think he, well, he might be. I mean, you know, again, the press secretary could have given a plausible explanation. Maybe she'd be able to say, well, we're embarrassed by this. Somebody accidentally had Congresswoman Worlowski's name on the teleprompter, and President Biden saw that and read it without his slide. That's okay. You can accept that. Instead, cut five. Instead, here's what Karine Jean-Pierre attempted to do in a pathetic display of trying to defend the incomprehensible.
What happened in the hunger event today? The president appeared to look around the room. For an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month, he seemed to indicate she might be in the room. What happened?
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public service with them when he sees her family this coming Friday.
He said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind. This wasn't what we were able to witness today, and what the president was able to lift up at this conference, at this event, was how her focus on wanting to deal with, combat food insecurity in America. And this is something that he was lifting up and honoring. And again, he knows that he's going to see her family this coming Friday. There's a bill
signing.
Turn it off.
I can't listen to another word of that. I mean, that's so pathetic. That's so cringeworthy. That's embarrassing. You know, they went bonkers when Trump's press secretary talked about the size of the inaugural crowd. They lost their minds. Remember that? And yet, there she is. She was on top of mind. I love the way she words it, too. And she's reading out of her book. Because these are prepared notes, because she can never give an answer on her own. You ever see her lug that briefing book out to the podium? I don't know how the poor woman holds that thing under her arm. I couldn't carry that. I'd need five people to carry that briefing book out. She has to read from these scripts that they've written out for her, and obviously they were writing that out for her, but evidently the dummies wrote on top of mind. On top of mind. On top of old mine, all covered in muck. Whoa. All right, 800-655-MIKE. Meanwhile, Ian has knocked out power for more than 2.5 million in Florida. We're still trying to chase down the Lee County Sheriff's assertion that hundreds of people were killed. Governor DeSantis said that has not been verified yet. We're hoping for the best and, you know, praying that this isn't as bad as they said. In terms of the political world, hey, we're 40 days away. We got a president. We got a head of a party who's capable of doing that. Hey, guys, I think it's time for a little family get-together for me. Would you get my dad on line one, my mom on line two, my wife on line three, and my sister on line four? Okay, let's get those all on. I want to talk to all of them, please, because they're all top of mind. They're on top of mind for me.
Wow. You jam our talk lines every day, and we're glad you do. So if you have something on your mind and you can't get through, leave us a voicemail. Call 800-655-MIKE and press option 2 to get it off your chest. And maybe on the air on the Mike Gallagher Show. So I'm leaving.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've helped MyPillow become one of the most extraordinary success stories in America today. Well, now Mike Lindell wants to give back exclusively to you, a Mike Gallagher listener. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale now for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code MikeG. Order today, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream Sheets are breathable. They have a cool, crisp feel made from the finest cotton on earth. Comes with a 10-year warranty, a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this amazing offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order today. Get them while they're hot. Call 800-928-6034. 800-928-6034. Use the promo code MikeG or call 800-928-6034. 800-928-6034. Or go to MyPillow.com. Look for the Mike Gallagher Radio Special Square. Click on that box. And with anything you order, be sure to enter the promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code Mike G, or call 800-928-6034, like we love to sing.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code Mike G.
Mike Gallagher.
We're calling from Tampa and Newport Richey. Just have a lot of wind damage, trees that are down, no flooding. So thank God. I hope everybody's safe and well out there that got hit. Love you all. Bye.
We love you too. Appreciate you checking in. We're going to go to Tampa in just a moment. Roger P. Schulman, the newsman, to give us an update, including whether or not the Tampa airport will open again, reopen today or tomorrow. Here's Governor DeSantis responding to that report from the Lee County Sheriff that hundreds of fatalities occurred. Here's what Governor DeSantis said about that.
There have been reports that maybe there were hundreds of fatalities in Lee County. Do you have any clarification on how?
So none of that is confirmed. I think what that is there were 911 calls for people saying, hey, the water is rising in my home. I'm going to go up in the attic, but I'm really worried. Of course, those folks are now going to be checked on. And so I think you'll have more clarity about that in the next day or so as they're able to go to those locations and determine whether people need services or are able to be rescued.
I don't want to be critical of law enforcement. I'm just hoping, I'm hoping the Lee County Sheriff misspoke when he told Good Morning America today that hundreds of fatalities happened in Lee County. But I also have got to say, what a pretty loose thing to say. And I want to, again, these guys are in the middle of trying to save lives. And so far, one, maybe two fatalities confirmed from Ian. But maybe we're going to get some really, really grim news as the day, as the days unfold. Here's Roger P. Schulman in the 860 AM newsroom, The Answer in Tampa Bay. Roger, that's peculiar that the Lee County Sheriff would make that statement today, and it sounds like Governor DeSantis was a little bit more cautious about the assertion that hundreds of people have been killed.
Yeah, it was interesting. He also made that comment to the Hillsborough County Sheriff in a phone call last night on a satellite phone while he was standing on top of the roof of a Bearcat vehicle trying to do some rescuing. It looks pretty bad down there, and he has no reason to inflate things. I think we are going to have some pretty gruesome discoveries there, and hopefully he is wrong, but I don't think he is inflating it. Carmen Marcino is a pretty level-headed guy. And,
yeah, that seems like a but Governor DeSantis seems to suggest that might have been based on the 911 calls. But nonetheless, that's hundreds of people. There's a big difference between one to two confirmed fatalities as of this moment and hundreds.
Well, we're going to find out soon. They are going in as we speak to check on these people through the water, and we'll know more probably in the next few hours.
Now, one of the big questions for travelers is, when will the airports open? I know they closed Orlando. They closed Tampa day before yesterday at 5 p.m. Roger, I got to get home. I can't spend one more hour in New York City. Please get me out of here and tell me that the airport's going to be open tomorrow.
I'm sorry, you have to take the train.
I'm willing. Or maybe somebody will fly me private. Maybe I've got a rich listener who wants to give me a quick lift from New York to Florida. Because I got to get home. Well, of course, where do you land? Maybe I can land in your backyard, Roger.
There is a little airport near my backyard. We can talk about that. All right. I talked to Jose Cruz here on our staff, has just checked the air traffic, and nothing is flying into this area of Florida at all, even Orlando. But I did talk to the airport administration at TIA on your behalf, Mike.
Thank you.
And I said, you need it open. And they said they're working on it. It won't be today, maybe tomorrow. And we should have an answer before noon.
Good. Tell them Gallagher's on his way. Gallagher needs to come home. So thank you for opening the airport for me, Roger.
I'm going to go out there and pull some weeds and stuff out of the way. And I think I'll have it open for you by tomorrow.
You got it. Roger P. Schulman joining us from the 860 AM The Answer Newsroom, doing a great job all through the storm. And all those guys in Tampa, they always go into storm coverage, and they do a magnificent job. Stick around. We got another hour of the Mike Gallagher Show to go on this busy Thursday.
On the Mike Gallagher Show.
Well, Ian is headed towards Charleston. Charleston's starting to feel the effects of the storm. South Carolina, Georgia. Let's get the very latest from newsman Roger P. Schulman, who's been holding down the fort in the AM 860, The Answer News Center. Roger, tell us a little bit about the track, because, listen, the country isn't, the east side of America isn't out of this thing yet.
No, they are not. I just got off the line with the National Weather Service. It is over the warm waters of the Atlantic soon, strengthening to a Category 1 hurricane after being a tropical storm, and it will go to the area, maybe Charleston, North Carolina. Which
South
could
Carolina.
Be very South Carolina, sorry.
Yes, sir.
I get those mixed up. But anyway, it's
a rare Roger P. Schulman error. I think that's the first one in 11 years, Roger.
11 and a half. But anyway, it is expected to hit in that area, and it is strengthening into a Category 1 hurricane at this time. Fortunately, the waters of the Atlantic are not as warm as the Gulf waters, which are very hot, some of the hottest in the world. And it will be going up there, according to the National Weather Service forecast at this point.
I got to ask you about this reverse storm surge phenomenon, which is, I'm learning all this stuff here as a relatively new Floridian. And I'm trying to figure out the Tampa Bay going down by 4 to 6 feet. Now, will that water come rushing back at some point?
It will come back, but not as fast as a storm surge. There's some concerns about the southern part of the Tampa Bay area where it will be coming back along with a high tide. The sheriff was concerned about that. There will be some flooding, but it won't be devastating, life-threatening flooding like we had in some of these other areas. Another point, we had three buffoons go out on a kayak fishing this morning, and they had to be rescued. And the fire department was very upset down in Gulfport about that situation, because they didn't want to put out resources, and they had a lot of trouble getting these guys back on shore.
Well, you know, I was just talking to one of my building manager a few minutes ago on a break about my condo, the high rise in St. Pete, and she said a ton of people stayed in the building during the storm. Now, no air conditioning. They turned off the cooling towers. No elevators. That's an interesting decision, but I think a lot of Floridians did that, Roger.
They did, and they suffered through it. If you want to sit around with no air conditioning, enjoy yourself. Surprisingly, this hurricane did cool things down. The Gulf water went from about 85 to 88 to 72 degrees from this hurricane, and it's a lot cooler in the Bay Area right now because of the hurricane, and drier, if you can believe that.
All right. Well, you're going to be all over it. Stay tuned and listen to Roger P. Schulman all throughout Tampa and St. Pete and Clearwater and Sarasota. Great to have you with your reports all this week, Roger. Thanks for your great work. 24 minutes Thanks. Before the hour. I got to play for you. This to me is astounding. I want to take a moment or two away from our Ian coverage to talk a little bit about what the President of the United States actually did this week, and his press secretary trying to defend it. Here was Tucker Carlson last night on Fox News.
So you didn't see that event. Almost nobody did. But news organizations send somebody called a pool reporter who represents the rest of the news organizations to take notes. Anything notable that happens, they write down, and then the rest of us can learn about it. But that event was covered by a pool reporter from Yahoo News who left the episode out of his pool report. But at the White House, reporters asked Karine Jean-Pierre about it anyway, and she said it's totally normal to ask why a dead person hasn't come to Joe Biden's speech. Watch.
And as he was naming folks, she was on top of mind, and he understands and knew that he was going to see her family on Friday for this bill signing. Again, I don't think it's all that unusual to have someone top of mind.
It's not all that unusual. What is unusual is to have a completely senile president, and it's a problem for two reasons. One, he doesn't seem threatening, so most of the population has no idea what's actually going on. Looks like grandpa nodding out at the Thanksgiving table. So people don't really get just how radical the administration is. And the second problem with having a senile president, we're living through this now, is that weak leaders cause disasters.
He's spot on. He's 100% correct. It's a huge, this is a major problem. This is a problem of epic proportions. Let me go back. Let me reverse it a little bit. And I probably should have played the clip of what Biden actually did before you got Tucker's commentary. And then I want to get your reaction to it at 1-800-655-MIKE. There was an event near the White House this week about nutrition. And a lot of elected representatives were to be there from Indiana, including Congresswoman Jackie Warlowski. Well, Jackie Warlowski was tragically killed in an auto accident in August. Now, certainly Biden should have known. It wasn't a quiet story. It was a shocking story. In fact, three people in her car were killed. And the car they hit, the occupant, the driver, was killed. Awful, awful tragedy. And even more tragic, it turned out to be Jackie Warlowski's aide who went over the center line and hit the other car head on. So it was a terrible story. Everybody was aware of it, evidently, except for the president himself. This is what he said. He was actually calling out for the deceased congresswoman to come up on stage.
And I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Now, this is a problem. This was, and as I told my team earlier, if you ever hear me thinking that somebody who has passed away in my life is around, call somebody. Check my pulse and make sure I'm okay. Feel my forehead because something's wrong. I'm having an episode. But listen to Karine Jean-Pierre explain it, defend it, and rationalize it as it being normal behavior.
Sorry to have to do this, but I'm compelled to ask you to go one more time back to the question about Congresswoman Walorski.
I'm not sure why. Why? Why one more time?
Frankly, honestly, I think the memory of the congresswoman and history requires some clarity here. Can you explain where the mistake was made? Was the president confused? Was something written in the teleprompter that he didn't recognize? Can you just help us understand what happened?
I mean, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. I hear you, Stephen. I'm answering the question that you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. I just answered the question. If that had been the case, I would have stated that, right? I would clearly have stated what you just laid out. What I had said is that she was on top of mind.
You're jumping to conclusions. Ma'am, why does the president think a dead congresswoman is in the room? Did he see her? Do you think he might have looked up and thought she came back from the dead? I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of this. This is an alarming situation. One of the reporters, and they hammered her about this yesterday, so good for them, finally. The White House, I mean, even the White House press corps, sympathetic to Joe Biden, can't ignore this one. The man is up there saying, where's Jackie? Where's Jackie? I see Senator Braun. Where's Jackie? Jackie, Well, Jackie died, sir, back in August in a tragic car crash. Here was a reporter pointing out John Lennon died, too, and he might be top of mind, but we don't call on him.
I mean, I have John Lennon top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him anywhere.
When you sign a bill for John Lennon, Lennon as president, then we can have this conversation. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, that's a good one, Corrine. When you sign a bill, she's really literally saying, well, top of mind. And the way she worded it, too, is so bizarre. She's on top of mind. That's like pig Latin. She's on top of mind. She kept saying that over, and like eight reporters asked her, well, she was on top of mind. It's one thing to think about her, but then to call on her? She died in August. Here was Sean Hannity's assessment of this last night on his show on Fox News.
Tonight, also at this hour, as millions in Florida suffering from the devastating impact of Hurricane Ian, the president of the United States, while he's enjoying a lavish Democratic fundraiser, he pretty much ignored the hurricane all day. Instead, earlier, he spoke at a pre-scheduled White House conference on hunger and nutrition. Now, the conference honored the late Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, who helped organize the event. She died in a tragic car crash in August. At the time of her death, Biden ordered flags to be lowered at half-mast, released a heartfelt tribute to the long-serving lawmaker, and he's even meeting with her family tomorrow. But today, apparently, Biden thought she was still alive. You can't make it up.
You cannot make it up, but it's a huge problem. How would you even explain this? Play the Biden clip one more time, if you will, please, what he actually said. And maybe like the mythical, elusive John Fetterman voter or supporter that I can't get anyone to call, maybe I can try to get somebody call and explain how this could happen. Again, keep in mind, Congresswoman Walorski was killed in August. This is what Biden said of her this week.
And I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I mean, he's mumbling. Where's Jackie? She's not going to be here. No, she won't be here because sadly she passed away. But according to the White House press secretary, that was said because she's on top of mind. Okay? 1-800-655-MIKE. Maybe I'll give you a prize if you can give me a rational explanation about how that mistake could have happened other than significant cognitive decline by the 79-year-old president of the United States. We are in trouble, and we've got 40 days to begin repairing the mess that the Democrats are creating in America. And again, somebody said to me, a caller said, well, maybe it was up on the teleprompter. Up on the teleprompter, so you see a dead Congress. First of all, I can't imagine they'd make that mistake, but even if they did, you'd see the dead congressman's name on the teleprompter and start looking for her in the room? Oh, what, Jackie? Yeah, Jackie, where are you? She is in heaven, Mr. President. She won't be joining us in person. 1-800-655-MIKE. Sean's right. You can't make it up. Maybe you can explain it to me here in the ReliefFactor.com studios. 800-655-MIKE. 800-655-6453. Yeah, we got some rainy days going on right now. We got a mess on our hands.
Be sure to get the Mike Gallagher Show podcast. Just go to MikeGPodcasts.com. Plus, exclusive interviews and so much more. It's all at MikeGPodcasts.com. Girl, I'm hoping soon you're gonna find, girl, your way back to me. 'Cause if you say you stay, the rainy days will go away.
Shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Born this day 87 years ago in Faraday, Louisiana, Mike, it is Jerry Lee Lewis's birthday. Still alive.
Right? Wow.
The Great Balls of Fire movie with Dennis Quaid and Winona Ryder was being filmed in Memphis while I was there, and everybody was all agog about all that and the star quality of that. But it really put me in the into the library of legendary stories about Jerry Lee Lewis. And wow, that is a life lived in large gulps, literally.
Sure is. Oh, yeah. big time.
So where do you want to? How did you spend your day?
Well, I was working late into the night. We were doing continuous Hurricane Ian coverage for our Florida affiliates, and of course. Pretty bad, just bleak news. A Florida sheriff this morning reveals just how catastrophic it was. Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino just a few minutes ago said, we have fatalities in the hundreds.
Oh, my.
Yep, Lee County. Fort Myers Beach, some of those video images, Mark, look like something out of a movie, a Steven Spielberg film.
Looks like special effects.
The storm surge, 10, 12 feet. But, yes, the... As the light of day this morning breaks in Florida, they are finding how much devastation. They are rescuing people because they did not rescue people in during much of the night. But according to the Lee County Sheriff, fatalities, deaths in the hundreds there. So this was an unexpected shift up into Category 4, nearly Category 5 status. I lost power yesterday in my house at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, still isn't back. Not sure when the power will return. And that's such a weird feeling to be up in New York, monitoring my property from cameras that, you know, that's like looking on my phone, just praying that everything's going to be okay. And then of course, everything goes dead and you know that, the power is out. So, but in Tampa Bay, fortunate, you know, for them, the hurricane missed the area where I live in terms of a direct hit. Now, they still had lots of damage. The condo building, the high-rise where I live, the roof was damaged. It took out the elevators. The fire department showed up. The fire alarm went off, and there was no staff. So the fire department had to apparently crash in through the lobby doors. I mean, this is how, you know, just life, you know, when you have a hurricane and an evacuation, a mandatory evacuation, the whole staff, I think we have... I don't know, 15, 20 people that work in our building. It's a high rise in downtown St. Pete. Well, they locked up and went. They left. Well, the fire alarms go off. Fire department shows up. They can't get in. And it speaks to your argument because Mark Davis is validated because you got some heat because you said, oh, no. They're going to do their best even in an evacuation zone to help. Well, you're right. Because my condo, which was in a mandatory evacuation zone where the staff left, there were some residents, I'm told, who stayed in, but the fire department did show up in the middle of this, and they broke down our lobby doors. Now the lobby doors aren't functional. I mean, it's just one thing after another. But, you know, even though first responders, the announcement goes out that they will not come and get you, Mark, your years of wisdom, and again, I defer to you. Your common sense kicks in.
I always knew why people say what they need to say. Because if authorities said it's a mandatory evacuation, but if you call 911, we're still coming, then a whole lot of people will just stay where they are. If they say we cannot come, there will be, if the winds reach a certain rate, we simply can't respond. That adds to the urgency of getting people out, and so I understand why they say that. But when push comes to shove, not all the time. In fact, it may be relatively rare. In this, you may have just have a perfect example of that, a perfect storm, if you will. That if responders are able to respond, they will. And so, you know, it's all a human nature kind of thing.
And it's case by case. But for people who said Mark is 1,000% wrong and that's not true, and if they say they're not going to go. And you know where I'm going to take this? It goes back to something that we learned for 2.5 years. And I'm sorry to tie this all together because I don't want to sound like Joy Reid on MSNBC, but I do have to make an observation. Don't lie to us. Don't say one thing and do another. Don't say masks won't work if they will. Don't say masks will work if they won't. Stop lying to us. Don't say you're not going to come rescue us if we need help.
But just literally 60 seconds ago, I kind of understood why they say what they say.
But you're defending them lying to us.
You know what a lie is? And we go through this a lot. A lie is something you say that you know is untrue, and you say it with the intent to deceive. That's the definition of a lie.
Okay, so
I believe their official position is we ain't coming. And is that official position malleable, changeable, if there is the opportunity to actually respond even against that policy? Will they do it? Yes, they will. I don't think that makes them duplicitous, deceitful. I don't think it makes them liars.
Well, I don't know. I mean, all I know is that I was told that if you stay in your building storm, we're not going to come get you.
I know.
And in real time, I witnessed the fire alarm going off and the fire department breaking down the doors. And incidentally, I'm more than a little miffed, because now I'm sure there'll be a big assessment that all the owners have to pay to fix the doors that got broken down and the air conditioners that went down and the cooling system that broke. So, I mean, I'm already prickly. Condo owners in buildings know about assessments. How about this one? We're already facing in our building a $15 million assessment because of defective workmanship from years ago. Uh-oh. And we all got to pay $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 as owners in the condo building. So now, you know, so I'm already a little bit aggravated. Now this, and again, I'm half joking here, but that's a textbook. Try not to get a homeowners association property and live in a high rise, because, man, you could be on the hook for lots of dough.
No doubt.
Lots of dough.
And also yesterday, just to continue the issues that come pouring off, quite literally, a story like this, is the notion of insurance. There are people who have lost everything, and we feel for them. And there was Biden yesterday, and this is what a president should say. At least he was able to complete this sentence in the English language, that we will help Florida rebuild. Okay, great. What exactly is government's role in the rebuilding process for some folks who just didn't have insurance? Isn't it a responsibility to have insurance? Easy to say, not always easy to do.
And that's not, and the government isn't going to bail you out if you lost everything. How do you think the government's going to pay for your house to be rebuilt? You know, you and I are blessed. We make a good living, but you're right. There's thousands and thousands of people who were uninsured, underinsured. Heck, I was almost underinsured on my house. I bought the house 6 months ago, whatever it was, realized when I was looking at the insurance policy about a month ago, I didn't have flood insurance. And I called my insurance agent. He said, oh, yeah, that's pretty typical. You got to add it on. I said, well, add it on. And that was a month ago. Think about that. If that house had gotten flooded out, I'd have been in trouble. I would have been out of pocket. And you know.
And against all of this, to go instantly 30,000 foot level, life is hard enough for these people. It's hard enough for everybody everywhere. The economy is in full wreckage anyway. And the election, of course, let's never lose sight of this, is 40 days away today. We can try to do, you know, just like as the left will say, if you elect Democrats, you won't have any more hurricanes, which is stupid. I'm not going to sit here and say if you elect Republicans, the economy instantly gets totally better and back to its pre-COVID health. But it will be a wise thing to put people in power who have better ideas. I don't know why this struck me, and maybe you've had something strike you too. Again, all wrapped around the notion of how totally blessed we are. I was running some errands yesterday, popped into a deli, and I thought, you know what, a Reuben sounds pretty good, and I got me a Reuben combo. Mm, it nice. Was one of the better ones I've had.
Extra Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah, please. Buddy. Mm-hmm. Reuben, fries, and a drink. Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh.
How much?
$11.
$18.
Oh, my gosh.
I think, and it was the second place I've been. I didn't get the Reuben last time I was there. And I'm not going to pick on the place because I almost want to plug them because it was so awesome. But I don't want to bag on them for being overpriced, because it just, I walked out of there and I said, I just laid down, you know, and I tipped. So I just laid down 20 something for a flipping Reuben. It was really good. But I did it. I can see somebody walking in wanting a Reuben, having to look at the prices and say, I can't do it because I can't fill fill my car up with gas because I can't make my rent, because that is the Biden economy now.
And it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
It is. And it's across the entire palette of life. I think about this restaurant, you talk about buildings, people who supply people, because I'm not going to bag on the restaurant, because everything they need to make the Reuben, the cost probably went way up. And that supplier would say, the place where we get it from is all goes, where does it all stop?
That's right.
The consumer. We have nowhere, I'm not going to say we, please, I'm blessed. But somebody, the previous hypothetical person who's making, you know, 23 grand a year and trying to have a wife and or a kid, where does that person go to adjust for the incredible rising cost of everything? This economy is a hellscape right now.
And the alternative that the Reuben place has is to just shut down. They can't keep up. They can't, because they know that customers can't afford a lot of the items. And, you know, with building supplies right now and people trying to do remodeling projects or whatever they're doing. And listen, Florida's going to face this. Tons of homeowners are going to have to go out and they're going to be buying lumber, and they're having to rebuild and redo their lawns. And they're going to face a sticker shock that is absolutely astonishing. And meanwhile, at the top of the food chain is a president who this week called on Jackie Walorski to identify herself
yesterday at
a Washington event.
Where's Jackie?
This is the congresswoman who was killed in August in a car crash, mm-hmm. and there was an event that evidently she had originally been part of.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing at the podium, as you know, saying, "Where's Jackie? Where's Jackie? Are you here? Are you here?" Now, it was bad enough that Biden forgot she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But then did you see Karine Jean-Pierre?
Played it.
Tried to explain it?
Said, hey, it's understandable she would be top of mind.
He'll
be meeting with her family, her grieving family at the signing ceremony. Whoa, what?
Now, I'm old enough to remember when Sean Spicer tried to say that the inauguration of President Trump was real big and was a huge crowd.
Yep.
How about the media going after this poor woman who has to try to spin a senile, doddering 79-year-old man, the oldest ever president we've ever had? His mental acuity is shot. He's standing up there calling for dead people, and she's up there saying, well, I don't understand what the controversy
is. To see here, man.
What do you mean? She was just top of mind. He said, where is she? Did you hear the one reporter who said, does John Lennon have a song, Mark, called Top of Mind?
I don't know.
Did you hear the John Lennon reference? All right, so a reporter says something about a John Lennon song. Or no, he said John Lennon might be top of mind, but I know he's dead.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah.
And then Karine Jean-Pierre said, well, if you're ever going to have a banquet honoring John Lennon, get back to me. I mean, it was comedy. It was just dark comedy. We're in big trouble.
Here you go. I just found the quote.
The
reporter said, Karine had said, hey, it's understandable for her to be top of mind. And a reporter said, I have John Lennon top of mind every day, but I'm not looking around for him.
And then what did Karine Jean-Pierre say?
Follow the
story, because that was even funnier.
I don't know.
Unintentionally, and not making her look funny. She looks like a moron.
Some days I feel for her. Some days I usually wonder how she keeps this job. Yesterday, it was just the hardest job in show business.
Have you ever seen her briefing book?
Well,
I don't know how the poor woman carries it out there. It's so big.
I know.
It's the size of 10 old-fashioned phone books, because she doesn't ever speak extemporaneously.
No.
She's always reading from cards and notes that are in that binder. Mark, do me a favor. Next time there's a White House press briefing, watch her lug that thing out. It's the size of a Brinks safe. Yeah. She is pulling this thing out. I mean, it's bigger than she is. Mm-hmm. And she has to, because she's got, oh gosh, they're asking me about, okay, climate change. I got to go to page 113. And then she starts reading because, and I've got to say this, she's got this, she likes to wear this like light-colored eyeshadow. And when she looks down and reads the briefing book, she reminds me of Little Orphan Annie, the old comic strip where you don't see her and never saw their eyes.
Oh my gosh.
You just see like spots where I like pictures of her.
Everybody.
I'm telling. Well, no, it's just the weirdest thing. She's
understand.
Looking down with the eyeshadow and she's reading and she's as the president has said that he is top of mind. My gosh. So 40 days away.
40 days.
And they're screaming now. The polls are neck and neck. I ain't buying it either.
Nope.
No way. No way. And did you see Fetterman in Pennsylvania scrubbed his Black Lives Matter references on his website?
Sure did.
How about that? Wonder why? Why would that happen?
Imagine. Why would he not be proud of all those things that he's been standing for years?
And what do the Black Lives Matter leaders feel about the Democrat nominee?
Are they not betrayed? Are they not offended? Shouldn't they call him out for this?
Surely they'll speak out any moment.
He's
now.
Not a good ally. Not a good ally.
Maybe it's time to have a rally in the streets of Philly or Harrisburg.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, no kidding. We've had enough damage in America.
All righty, man.
All right. Happy Thursday, my friend.
Happy Thursday. Mike Gallagher is here to just take a look at everything going on in the news and another amazing day in the parade. Mike Gallagher, today, 10 o'clock, as soon as we're done, on 660 AM, The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.